looking back at this past week, I have had several opportunities to do new things, or in some cases, to do things that I've done before, but in a very, very different way. And that is for really a lot of different reasons. What has occurred to me as a result of looking back at this week and having the opportunity to take a moment and look back is that there are so many things about encountering something new that can make us uncomfortable in a lot of different ways. And I know, as someone who has spent a lot of my adult life avoiding change and avoiding having to do new things because I really just did not feel comfortable at all and really worked so hard to try to keep my life in a very manageable, and predictable type of routine. And I would avoid change and avoid the opportunity to step out and try new things because I didn't like the way that it felt in my mind. I guess that's really the best way. I don't know if that's the correct way to say that, but I didn't like what was going on inside my head. And looking back at that, I realize now that while I could not have described that feeling 20, 25, or 30 years ago, I have had the opportunity to spend some time and really sit with that and reflect and realize that when I say that it didn't feel good in my head, what I was really describing, because I didn't have any other way to describe it, was that it was all of my thoughts and all of my internal reactions about what I felt like in my body and in my mind when I was facing the fear of the unknown, when I was doing things that I didn't have any frame of reference for. There was no way to use any what's referred to sometimes as muscle memory. You know, it's so new and it's so different and it feels so different that there's nothing that I can lean on. It's almost as if these opportunities to carve out new neural pathways and to try different things and not be afraid to make mistakes. And it sounds really easy for me to say this, and I wish that it was as easy as it sounds, but it isn't. It really generally, at least in my experience, I can't say that that's the same for everyone else, but I know for me, this is really what it has felt like. And because I did not like the way, and I'm not sure if anyone, I can't really say for sure, I've never met anyone that does not struggle and suffer some when there are uncontrolled thoughts going on in their minds, when they are just, you know, there's looping thoughts of all kinds of thoughts that are going on and internal reactions, and when things are challenging beliefs that we hold very dear and hold very closely, and we have expectations about how everything is supposed to be and how these people in our lives are supposed to be and how things are supposed to go. And when they don't, there is a lot of reactivity that we experience in our bodies and in our minds. So in terms of where mindfulness practice has really helped, or what I can share in terms of the way that it's helped me cope with the fear and the unnecessary suffering that I cause for myself when I'm facing the prospect of needing to do something new, or even when I am presented with an opportunity and it's optional, I'm not required to, and while I may be interested and while I may want the opportunity to grow and learn, there is a part of me that will inevitably fight this to a certain degree out of the, you know, trying to protect my ego or trying to protect my identity. And while I've worked with numerous holistic healers and have utilized, you know, numerous healing modalities, I'm still human. And so this is, you know, I don't think we're ever immune to the struggles with our identity as human beings. I'm finding there's always some work to be done on that. And I don't want to say that to overwhelm myself or anyone else. It's a process. And I don't know, at least for me, I don't know if I'm ever going to get there or not. And this is really why mindfulness practice, you know, in fact, I'm just realizing this as in the moment, as I'm saying this, that this may be one of the most important reasons that mindfulness practice is so effective. It clearly won't solve all of my problems or anyone's problems. And clearly everyone has different, you know, has a different path and different work and different healing that can, that there's opportunities to undertake and to benefit from. And only I can know what's best for me and what work I have to do. And I can't do it all at once. But as far as mindfulness practice, I'm realizing just in these moments that it, the one of the most powerful things about it is that if I had completely transcended my own humanness, if I had literally healed from everything that I have struggled with, if I've been able to unpack and divest myself of all of my psychic baggage, all of my psychological baggage, and I know this will never happen, but if I could do that, I really wouldn't need to practice mindfulness. And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with me or anyone else, or that we're bad, or that we need to feel like we need to beat ourselves up emotionally or feel inadequate. It's just really what it means to be human. And part of being human, I am finding, is that there's always going to be, to a certain degree, reactivity. And there's always going to be thoughts that will occur, and that I will somehow attach to them or cling to those thoughts and think them over and over and over again. In some cases, I'm going to do it unconsciously, which in some cases I'm going to do it consciously, and I'm going to realize that I'm doing it, and I'm going to do it for a reason. I'm going to hold on to these thoughts because it's somehow distracting me from what it is that I believe that I need to see. And I know that only we can know what's best for ourselves in this regard. But really, if there was no need for this, if everyone was completely healed from these things, including myself, I really wouldn't have to worry about being mindful, because I could just flow with every moment. And because if I have no ego or any identity, then nothing's really going to challenge me. I'm not going to react to anything, because I'm not busy trying to be somebody doing something. And so for us humans, that is why I really, I'm literally realizing this. This is not something I had even thought about before now, that this is why it is so beneficial and why it is so healing. And it's not the end in itself. It's not this magic bullet or the silver bullet that will fix everything for us. It is not some sort of magic cure-all. But what it does do is it does allow me, when I do get carried away with my thoughts, when I do get carried away with my internal reactivity, then it can bring me back to the present moment. I can come back here and just be aware of the fact that I'm thinking excessively, that the thoughts that I'm thinking are not helping me to be in the moment and to be present and to be more fully human and to be the best person that I can be. And so what I found this week was that there were several situations in which I was presented with what I felt like was a need to move forward and try to do things that are different, to try to do some of the work that I had done in a different way. And the situation has necessitated it. And also trying to be creative and trying to really stay in a place where I can really actually help others and be of service to others and bring about something positive as a result of this life that I've been given, and that we all are blessed with the lives that we have. At least that's the way that I have come to see this. It's not my necessarily an opinion I'm holding fast to, but it's been my experience. And I feel like I've been blessed by so many other people that it really does feel that way to me. But that's just one person's perspective. But essentially, I know now that if I don't have any way to be more aware of what I'm thinking, if I don't have a way to monitor that, and not that I'm getting obsessive about it, not that I'm getting completely wrapped up in it, because I don't want to do that either. I don't want to turn mindfulness into some sort of self-improvement project where I have to put in time at the office, quote-unquote, every day. You know, this is something, I don't want it to be a have-to, And yes, there is an aspect of the practice, especially in the early stages of someone's practice, that there is a need to undertake the practice every day. But that's really when we're practicing anything at all. But I can't accomplish it all in one day. I can only do what is reasonable, what works for me. And the fact is that I want to be able to show up. And really, practicing mindfulness is really just a way of showing up for myself. And it's this opportunity for others as well. And what I found is over this past 8 or 9 months, there has been so much change in so many different ways. And that's just as one person's experience, that I've had an opportunity to benefit from the practice. And this is even after practicing for almost 30 years. I have had so many powerful opportunities to grow and to come out of my comfort zone. And it has not always felt good. And there's still some things that I'm struggling with now that don't feel good at all. And I realize that it is the fear of the unknown. It is the fear of looking silly. It is the fear of looking inadequate or feeling silly or inadequate. It is the fear, at least this is for me. And it can sound overwhelming when I start really thinking about all of the different things, the different ways in which I can get in my own way when I have the opportunity to try something new. Then I realize that this is why the practice is so important for me, because the way that I'm hurting myself, the way that I'm getting in my own way, is mainly what I'm thinking and how I'm thinking, what my self-talk is like, how I am speaking to myself, even if I'm not speaking words out loud. But the thoughts that I'm thinking are ultimately going to define what I think is my reality. And I realize that there's a limit to this, that it's only relative reality. Absolute reality, and that's really outside of the bounds of what I'm speaking about today. And that is something that I'm not sure that I can really speak to that. I'm not sure I can speak to that in this limited time in a way that could be beneficial or important in any way. And not that I know that much about it, but I've experienced it. And I can only experience what's really going on and really be present. And I had a teacher share this with me several years ago, that really being here, and I love how he would say this, or does say this, that being here is the point. Why be here in the present moment, even if it is difficult and uncertain and uncomfortable, and especially when we're doing things that are new, especially when we're encountering the prospect of change? Why be here? If we're here, this is where it's uncomfortable. This is where it doesn't feel good sometimes to be a person facing these things. But it's, you know, he very aptly put it, that being here is the point. That ultimately, in this life, the best thing that I can do, and I can't say this for anyone else except for myself, but I have tried so many years to try to escape all of these things. I've tried to run away from those things that are uncomfortable. I've avoided doing anything new because it was too painful, because the fact that it challenged my identity of who I am. It put me in a position where I had to really challenge and question some of the beliefs that I was holding on to about what all this is about, what this life is about, who I really am, what I'm supposed to be doing here. And if I can quieten those things, and what I've found is that mindfulness practice is one, not the only, but one of those practices that really quietens this loud voice of these just never-ending thoughts that really aren't doing me any good at all. And the only way, there's nothing that I can do to stop these thoughts. I can't just force myself or brute force this and just put a stop to this. I've tried that, and it doesn't work, at least for me. And so the only thing that has worked for me has been to pay attention to the thoughts. And the more I've practiced getting a little bit of headspace, a little bit of distance between what I think is the absolute truth and what is really just the relative truth, it's just my take on it. And just because whatever my take is on what's happening, because it's mine, doesn't mean I should cherish it so much just because it's mine. And that took me a while to actually get comfortable with that. That, you know, what I think is going on isn't the most important thing right now. And in a lot of ways, it's getting in my way. And this is not to diminish my worth as a human being or to say that I'm not worthy in some way. But what it is, it's a way of actually becoming friends with our minds. It's, in other words, we can realize that, yes, we have these minds. We're wired to think logistically and logically. But that doesn't, that I found, and many people I've talked to who have engaged in the practice have found that sometimes these kinds of thoughts don't necessarily help us to be here in the moment where it's all happening. It doesn't, these thoughts don't allow us always to be able to do the best we can do and be the best person we can be in the moment, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of life, while it's all happening. And so the only thing I've ever found that has allowed me to be able to do that is mindfulness practice. And because I am human, because I still struggle with the prospect of doing new things or doing things that I've done before in a different way, that I've struggled with change, that I've struggled with having to or feeling like somehow I don't think I'm going to be able to make it, or I'm unsure of myself in some way, because I'm human and I realize that these things are just thoughts. I can think all day long that I'm not sure if I can do anything or not. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. I'm not sure if I'm going to get through this. And I don't want to diminish these things. They feel very real, and there are sometimes very real circumstances that cause us to feel this way. Or I'm not saying feel this way, but think this way. And see, even after 30 years of practicing mindfulness, I still sometimes will say this. I feel this way. I feel this other way. What's really happening is that I'm thinking this way. And ultimately, I'm going to feel a certain way. I'm going to feel a certain emotion, some sort of physiological response. And it is going to feel very real, and it is going to be really visceral. But my thinking is generally what's going to lead me into however I'm going to feel. And that if I can have a way of taking it a different look at those thoughts, a look at those reactions, with just a little bit of distance between me and them, between me and those thoughts and those reactions, just a little bit of headspace, I can realize that they are just thoughts. And sometimes they can overwhelm us. Sometimes they can almost cripple our ability to be able to move forward and take any meaningful action. But I also know that there may be times I don't need to take action just yet, and I may not know what it is I'm supposed to do. But I know I've got a much better chance of choosing the most appropriate action if I have control, if it's established some calmness in my mind through utilizing some kind of meditative practice, and there are many, and also being able to objectively look at my own thoughts, not to judge them, not to suppress them, but to just be aware that I'm doing it and to love myself even in spite of the fact that I'm thinking a certain way. The thoughts themselves always will diminish on their own. They come and they go. They literally pass like storms in the night. But it is the matter of what I do with them while they're here, while the storm is raging. What is it that I do with them? Do I believe them just because they're my thoughts? Do I cling to them and identify with them just because they're happening in my own head? And I know that if the more I do this, the less likely I'm going to go into anything new and be willing to embrace it and to be willing to make a mistake and to be willing to do it wrong, so to speak. And I don't even really love using the words right or wrong, but I'm trying to for the sake of making a point here. I may look foolish. I may look inadequate. But I usually find that when I'm thinking thoughts like this, so many times when I've spoken with people about how I am thinking about myself, people will tell me that they're not seeing what I'm seeing. And in some cases, they may be being nice, but how I'm never really going to know. So really, what is the point of questioning that? I literally at some point want to just trust and know that whether I'm looking foolish or not, or whether I look like I don't know what I'm doing or not, or maybe I end up turning it into a big gigantic mess, that at least I've tried something new. At least I've been willing to go outside of my comfort zone and move in a different direction. And I know that I'm much more likely to be able to cope if things don't go well the first time. And if I find myself flat on my back, figuratively speaking, I can get up, get my bearings, you know, dust myself off, get back up and try whatever it is again, if that's what is appropriate for me, if that's what's right. I won't be able to really know whether it's appropriate or right if my head is just buzzing with thoughts and reactions and negative reinforcing thoughts and negative self-talk. But I do know that if I can show myself some unconditional love and being able to cope mindfully, utilizing mindfulness practice is certainly one of the ways in which I can love myself unconditionally in one of the most healing and nourishing ways that I know of. It is not the be-all, end-all of everything, but I know that ultimately it is what has helped me heal and also be able to utilize other practices and other modalities of healing to try to be the best human being that I can be. It's still a work in progress, still have a long way to go, still making mistakes, still learning, still growing. But thankfully, through the practice, I'm still here and I still want to be here. And that's something that I'm very, very thankful for.